I'm going to start in John chapter 14. For years, I mean years into past a decade, I studied love and how to walk in love. I did it for my own benefit. I wasn't concerned about the body of Christ, the church, or anybody else. I wanted to walk in love. I had some trauma in my life, and I wanted to be sure I wasn't conquered by bitterness or resentment. I wanted to be sure that I did the right thing according to the Scripture. You know, the only way to be blessed is to keep the command of the Scripture, and we only have one command. How many commands?
One.
How many?
One.
How many?
One.
Only one, and it's to walk in love. So I was going to keep that command to walk in love. It would have been the way of my flesh to say, look, I'll walk on my side of the street, you walk on yours, I won't bother you, you don't bother me. That's really what I felt like. But you know, we can't yield to the flesh. You know, the flesh has to be crucified. You know why that is? Doesn't ever choose to do the right thing. Doesn't ever choose to do the right thing. It always wants to retaliate. And so I had to put that under, so I studied love. Well, in recent days, the Lord has stirred that up again in me. I suppose it's because I need it again. But if I need it, I figured you might need it, and I felt led to go in that direction this morning. Now, Jesus is going away. He's given his disciples a specific direction. You know, we leave home a lot. We used to always have somebody in our house because we have wonderful dogs. Now we just have one wonderful old dog. The others have gone on to be with the Lord. We just have one wonderful old dog, and she can't be left by herself, and she's not easily moved into another residence. So we leave somebody at our house, and I leave them a specific direction. Well, I may lead them several things to do. You know, you like to come home when the vacuuming's done, the dishwasher's loaded, and things look nice. You know, God has a plan. He has a plan for your success. He wants you to have that peace that passes all understanding. And if you don't have peace, you need to ask him, what's the plan? What's the plan? So much of the plan is given to us in the Word, and yet the plan has to be personalized for your own life. It's a personal plan. God's plan for you is personal. Well, love is very personal. And if I choose to be bitter and resentful and uptight and strung out, I'll miss the purpose, the plan, the perfection of God in my life. You know, I like 1 John 3:2. It says we're not to be ashamed at His coming. Not to be ashamed at His coming. We don't have to drag our feet and hold our head down because we've fulfilled the plan. We've walked in peace. We've honored love. We've had joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we can hold our head high and say, He's coming soon. Do you believe He's coming soon? You know, we're fixing to celebrate His first coming. But we're actually on the edge of His second coming. And so he that hath this hope purifies himself. That means I have to do something with me and you have to do something with you. I know you've tried like me to do something with the other guy, haven't you? Especially in married couples. Wife tries to help the husband. Husband tries to help the wife. I found out that they have to perfect themselves. They have to walk in love themselves. You know, I can shout in Wayne's ear and tell him, this is great news. Isn't this great news? This is wonderful. Don't you love this? And he'll say, yeah, it's good. I found out he doesn't shout as loud as I do, run as fast as I do. And yet he's a lot more steady than I am. And I think that's why men and women need one another. Because guys are usually a lot steadier than women. And that won't cost you anything. That's totally free. Is that all right? But it talks about he that hath this hope purifies himself. In other words, I'm going to do something with me. I'm going to see the word of the living God. And first of all, I'm going to make a decision. I must do something with me. You know, that's where it begins. I must do something with me. And yet I recognize my own inability. Have you ever tried that? Do something with willpower, bulldog tenacity. Usually it's something you're not going to say. You say, I'm not going to say that, though. That wouldn't be kind. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. And you might last 5 minutes before you said it. Have you ever done that? And then the minute you said it, you thought, oh, you can see it didn't go over. You can see it was the wrong thing to do. And you knew that all the time, didn't you? You thought, oh, I should never have said that. Well, it's not willpower. We're going to walk in love. We're going to find the plan of God. We're going to perfect that plan, but not with willpower, with Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Now, Jesus is going away, and he's talking to his disciples about his departure. And he's going to give them, in chapter 13, an instruction. We'll begin in verse 33. He's going to tell them what he wants them to do while he's gone. And that's what I do. I may leave a knot of instructions, but the main thing I want them to do is to make the dogs comfortable, to feed the dog. And nothing else is important, and that's the basic reason they're there, is to feed the dog, make sure she's not missing her mother, you know. That would be me. Now, Jesus is only going to give them one thing to do. He's going to give them one command. He says, I'm going away. Yet a little while I'm with you. If you read the translations, he's saying, I'm only going to be with you just a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So what is he going to say? So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. He said, you can't come with me. I'm going away. You can't come while I'm gone. This is what I want you to do. It's a good thing he didn't leave us a lot of different things to do. Because I don't know about you. I'm pretty single-minded. I try to do one thing at a time. I'm not one of these people that can do five things at once. I've seen that done. But I can't do it. He said, while I'm gone. While I'm gone. Now this is what he wanted you to do while he's gone. In between the time that he ascended to the Father's right hand and comes back again, he wanted us to do this one thing, to love one another. Well, he said we were to purify ourselves. So if we only have one command, the one thing that makes me pure in heaven is to walk in the love of God. Now in the Old Testament, they had multiple commands, a lot of ordinances, a lot of statutes, a lot of sacrifices. In the New Testament, we have one sacrifice, do we not? The Lord Jesus Christ was slain for the sin of the world. That's the only sacrifice. So there's a change from the Old Testament to the New. The Old Testament had what we call the Ten Commandments, but really there were many commandments and ordinances that were hooked to or joined to those Ten Commandments. But we come to the New. The Lord made it so very easy for us. He said, I'm going away. This is what I want you to do while I'm gone. Love one another. And it's going to be a quality of love that's going to get the attention of the world. See, human fleshly love says, I love you if you love me. If you spit on me, I'm going to spit on you. Isn't that what it says? That's why it says crucify the flesh. Can't be trusted to obey God. Can't be trusted to hear the orders of heaven. So God said, while I'm gone, I want you to love one another, but not like regular sinners, not like human beings, not like ordinary people. Paul reproved the church at Corinth for acting like ordinary people. See, we're not ordinary people. We're supernatural people. Now, God's going to do something wonderful so that we can fulfill the command. If we fulfill the command, we're going to walk in purity. We're going to walk in holiness because there's only one command. So he's going to empower us to fulfill that command. Oh, thank God. Have you ever hunted something you couldn't find? I have. One dear little lady, she was from the denominational church. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She called and asked, would I come? She had heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we laid hands on her, and she began to speak in tongues. Well, the next day or two, her son was coming to check her papers, her insurance papers and some other things, and she couldn't find them. So she said to the Lord, where are my papers? He was coming from out of town. So she had a vision, and she saw the drawer where she had put the papers. That's what I do. I put things up where I can find them, put them in a new spot, a safe, secure spot, and then I can't find them. Now, if God's asking me to find something, to locate love, I'm going to be totally helpless. Because I've always got the flesh. I'm trapped in a human body until Jesus comes. I'm going to step out of this body when I die. Or he comes, he's going to glorify this body. In the meantime, you've got the body to contend with. And in the human body's not going to cooperate. It's not going to be agreeable. It's not going to say, oh, I'd love to love them. It's going to say, I dare she do that to you. So I've got to crucify the flesh. I know the flesh is going to lead me astray. I've got to locate the love of God. Now, in the scripture, there are three kinds of love. There's eros, which is I call television love. Not too interested in eros. We're going to throw that out. Nobody wants to do that. Then there's phileo. And phileo has to do with emotions and feelings. It has to do with kissing and hugging and being affectionate. Well, you know, that's good in its place, but it's no substitute for the love of God, which is always referred to as agape. And agape is a wonderful thing because it's a love of decision. I read the book, I find out what God said, and I say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to say I felt like doing it. You know, you ask somebody why they did something, they say, I felt like it. Or sometimes they say, I didn't feel like it. But that's not the kind of love. Now, when Jesus died, he said, I'm going to put that love on the inside. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. That's in Romans chapter 5. It's in there. I don't have to hunt for it. It's not out in the world. It's in me. You have the love of God. It's referred to in Galatians as a fruit. Now you go out to any of our groves and fruit grows. It begins with a blossom, then a small green, orange, and then it gets bigger and bigger, begins to take on color. And the love of God on the inside is a fruit. In other words, it's supposed to grow. Well, you know how things grow. They water those groves. They fertilize those groves. They run the tractor through them. They spray them for insects. There's a process of working with Mother Nature so that the fruit will grow. Well, there's a process where I work with God. I join my hand with God. And the first thing I'm going to do is to decide to be a part of the process. It's to say, I will walk in love. I will do that. I will do that. I will. I will. I will. Is that decision, that wonderful decision. And to know that this love is already in here, and if I yield to it, if I fertilize it, it'll grow. Now, you fertilize the love of God with the Word. I don't know why I didn't think of that for years. I teach healing round the clock, seems like. And I know if you're going to be healed, you need to have some healing scriptures in you. You need to meditate in the healing scriptures. But it never dawned on me, if you're going to walk in love, you need to meditate in the love scriptures. That was news to me. I should have thought of it myself, but I didn't. I read it somewhere. You know, you don't have to be original. There's a lot of good word that people have rightly divided. You can read that, and you can just say what they're saying. If they're right, you can say it. It'd be right for you to say it. Somebody says, don't you have something new to say? I said, no, not really. Because God is the same yesterday, today, forever. The Word is the same, and the Holy Ghost is the same. And what one person's saying, somebody down the line will say the same thing. Because it's the same Holy Ghost, same Word. And a lot of people are talking about walking in love. Because we're going to step into the era of the gifts of the Spirit. They're going to manifest word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. But you know they won't work apart from the love of God. Right in the middle of the description of those supernatural gifts, 9 wonderful supernatural gifts that we love to see. We practice them as the Holy Ghost pours them through us, and we're delighted with them. And yet right in the middle of the description of those gifts is this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, on walking in love. Because the foundation of the gifts is the love of God. You know the foundation of all you are is the love of God. Not the love of man, not the love of the flesh, not mental assent, not physical feelings. But decision, a godly decision. I know what you said, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Now, for years, I began to say, I am patient and kind, because that's the first description that's given of God's love. I began to say it. You see, I'm watering the seed of love. When Jesus died and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, he changed me. I became a new creature, and on the inside of that new creature is the love of God. The King James says it was shed abroad. We might say it was poured into. So that love is just poured in me. You know, but you can have a glass of water or a pitcher of water. Now, when you go overseas, it's the funniest thing. When you order a Coke or any other kind of soda, it comes in a tall, skinny glass that honestly doesn't have 2 ounces in it. And that is all you're going to get. That is it. You don't get any refills. If you get a refill, you pay for it. People that don't know that come from our culture. I keep saying, would you give me another? Would you give me another? And then they have a $20, $30, $40, $50 bill for soda, because they don't know that they give you just a little bit, and that's all you get, and you pay by the glass. But you come over here in our culture, and they give you this huge glass, quart maybe, some of them, and you can just keep filling it and keep drinking and keep drinking. And that's the way it is with the Word of the Living God. If I know love is in here, love is in here. It is in here. I'm not looking for it somewhere. I'm not hunting it like that little lady hunting her insurance papers. It's already in here. It's in here, and it's supposed to grow. And as I meditate on the Word of God, I begin to say, oh, I'm patient and kind. Somebody said, but that's not true. I said, that's exactly why I'm saying it. Calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm allowing God to work in me. And I began to take the definition of love, 1 Corinthians 13, and I began to say that. Why? Because love is a fruit. It's a fruit. It's a fruit. It's listed in Galatians as a fruit. And it has to grow. And what makes that love grow is my knowledge of that love and then my practice. You know, knowledge without practice is insufficient for success. The fact that you brought your Bible today, I'm glad you brought it. I see people that never come with a Bible. That distresses me. I think they ought to carry it even if they don't read it, don't you? But the fact that I have a copy doesn't mean I'm going to be successful. I have to know what's in it. I have to take time to read it. I may not read the whole Bible through this year. I may not know everything that's in it, but there's something that's grabbed my attention, something the Holy Ghost has shared with me that I've read and I've read and I've read that's growing on the inside. Well, one thing that has to grow on the inside is the love of God. Has to grow. has to grow. Now look at 1 Corinthians 13. Let me describe love to you as the Bible describes it. Jesus said, I'm going away, and while I'm gone, love one another. That means when you spit on me, I'm going to refuse to spit on you. When you talk about me, I'm going to refuse to talk about you. Oh, thank God. But it's more than the help of the Word. It's the help of the Holy Ghost. We're going to have the wonderful Word to meditate in to cause the fruit to grow, but we're going to have the help of the Holy Ghost as well. Now look at verse 4, love suffers long. Well, that's easy to talk about. You've ever suffered short? You know how to suffer short? Then you should understand suffering long. And really it means to be in restraint, to hold back. You know when you hold back, you had something to say, but you refused to say it. You want to do something ugly and unkind, but you refuse. You're long-suffering. You restrain yourself while you've made a decision. Say, I've made a decision. I've made a decision. I've made a decision. And then it says it's kind. While I'm suffering long, while I'm restraining myself, you know, sometimes I may be in restraint, but it makes me so unhappy. I really wanted to tell you off. I want to say, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you said that. How dare you? No, it says you're kind. And kind is not just an attitude, it's an action. This is who I am in God. This is the foundation of my success. It says, I'm going to perfect holiness. I'm not going to be ashamed when He comes. And the one thing we're going to be ashamed of is our behavior when we see Him. But we can prevent that by making a decision to walk in love. And every time I breach love, because you'll not be perfect, I say, Father, forgive me. Because He said, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So every time I know I didn't walk in holiness. See, walking in love is walking in holiness. We only have one command. It's not two or three or four or five things that makes us holy. It's only one. Keeping that one command. Walking in love. Now it says you're going to be patient. Hang in there. Restrain yourself. I always say, I know when to shut up, I know when to speak up. Sometimes we speak up and we should shut up. You ever done that? Y'all are out there, aren't you? And then I'm going to be kind, and that means I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be benevolent. I'm going to do something, not just say something nice. You know, we'd say, she is so kind, and the reason you said that is because you saw some action that indicated her graciousness. It means graciousness or benevolence. So I may be in pain or agony by what you said or what you did or what I thought you said and did. Usually that's the way it is. It's not what you said, it's what I thought you said. And all that time, I'm letting the love of God in my heart dominate me. I'm letting it control. Why? I'm not going to be ashamed when He comes. Peter said, be holy! For He's holy. How are we going to be holy? See, it took me a long time to figure holiness out. I thought we're going to do this and do that and do this and not do this and not do that and not do that. And we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And I thought, I give. I quit. I'm the first to quit. I either make an A or I quit. That's just me. That's my nature. If I can't get it right, I mean really, really right, I'm not going. I'm not saying. But I found out. Jesus said, I'm going away. Keep this one command. And it's that one command, that causes me to be holy, causes me to be pure. And then He comes, and when I look in His face, He'll say, well done. You know, that's a wonderful parable. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can be faithful and not do well. I mean, you can be here and not be of help, not be a benefit, come with a bad attitude. The fact that you're faithful is not enough. He said, well done, thou good. Well, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus paid for our righteousness. So technically, God could say, poorly done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want that, do you? Have you ever seen workmanship you were ashamed of, especially if you paid for it? I know a gentleman paid to have his back porch refurbished, and he called me to look at it. It was pathetic. It was just really, really sad. And he gave the man his cash up front, which was sadder yet. And the man didn't ever show up again to fix the work. And it was the poorest workmanship I've ever seen. Now that man faithfully came. He was there. And he did what he said he's going to do. He put up the screen, changed the wood, but it was poor work. And if I had done that, I would have been ashamed. I would have been apologetic. I would have said, let me redo this for you. Let me get somebody to help me that knows how to do this. Obviously, I am not as equipped to do this as I thought. But see, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. It says, beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and he that hath this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. Same thing, be ye holy as I am holy. Now look at 1 Peter. Let me read you another one. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 13. We can't cover every avenue of what love is, but we'll cover some of it. Because we're going to walk in love. We're going to decide, are we not? Look at chapter 1, 1 Peter, verse 22. It's a great verse. It shows us exactly what I'm talking to you about. Be holy, how? Walk in love. Be pure, how? Walk in love. He says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you see, he said, you purified yourself in obedience. Says love is a decision, and then that decision has to have follow through. But when you purified yourself, he found in them unfeigned love of the brethren. Purity and love are tied together in the scripture. He said you purified your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. And when you purified your soul, I found real, genuine love of the brethren. Acted out. He found them responding to the fruit that was on the inside. Now it says love is patient and kind. See, if you're going to be pure, you're going to walk in love. If you're going to be holy, you're going to walk in love. You're going to have to restrain yourself and be long-suffering when you'd like to be short-suffering. And you're going to do something intentionally. It's not that I wanted to be kind to you. I really want to ignore you. I don't know about you, but that's my thing. That's what I do. I just ignore you, pretend you didn't exist. If I were mad, that's what I do. I mean, somebody else wants to confront, but I'm not a confront. I'm an escapist. I said, I'm out of here. You can be ugly by yourself. I'm not coming back. Well, kindness is a decision. And it's something you do. Say, kindness, kindness. Is something you do. So I have to decide, what am I going to do? Now, Jesus said, love your enemies and do good. He didn't say think good. Thank God he didn't say think good. He said do good. Do is something you do. I know that's profound today, isn't it? Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to walk in love. So if I have a chance to be ugly, instead of being ugly, I'm going to overcome evil by doing good. It's not thinking good. It's doing good. Overcome evil with good. Now, here's how that works. It's so very simple. One lady came to a class I was teaching. She was new. She told me that she'd wanted to come for a long time, but she always worked on that day. But they had given her that day off for some reason, and she remembered that that was the day of our class, and she came. We taught on doing good. You see, if you're going to walk in love, you're going to have to do it. Say, do it. Do it. Do it. Not think about it. Do it. And it's not tied in with your feeling. It doesn't mean I did it because I felt like it. I did it because I decided to follow God. I decided. If you want to know the truth, I didn't feel like it. I hope you get what's coming to you. Have you ever felt that way? And we say, if she does that to me one more time, that's how I felt. But I can't express that with words or with action, because I'm going to do good. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to let love dominate, because he's coming. He's coming. And he's going to find me pure and holy. He's going to find me walking in the word. And every time I breach that word, he's going to find me on my knees saying, Father, forgive me. Oh, and he's so faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Thank God he will. He knew. You know, we've not been redeemed from the possibility of sin. I heard this in the Spirit just this year. We've not been redeemed from the possibility of sin. We've been redeemed from the power of sin. Oh, thank God. He said, I write unto you that you sin not. He knew it was possible. Then he said, don't do it, because we have a power on the inside, the power of the Holy Ghost. See, God has equipped us to do what he's asked us to do. He hasn't asked us to do something that we cannot do. He said, I'm going to pour my love into you. I'm going to pour it into you like quarts and quarts of soda. Just pour it in, pour it in, pour it in. And as you drink that, as you decide, I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to act in love, even when my mind says you need to have what's coming to you, Even when I'd like to spit on you. Even when I'd like to ignore you. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because the love of God is... See, it's agape. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a decision. And when I honor that decision and begin to act on that decision, love is something you do. Now, this lady that came to the class, do you think I'd forgotten her? No. We taught on doing something. And she said, I gave them an example of a lady that bought donuts for a coworker. So you've got to do something, do something, do something. It says if your enemy hunger, feed them. That means if somebody hates you, you're supposed to take them to lunch. You're supposed to take your enemy to lunch. See, if we don't honor the word and we don't follow the word, it won't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because I'm not eating with you. I don't like you. And you crossed me up with a boss and you gave me a bad name. One, two ladies, they live side by side, had used the same driveway. This really happened. Used the same driveway for years. And then one lady decided that's her driveway. Well, the other lady knew it wasn't her driveway. She says, that's my driveway. Oh, she went to a Holy Ghost pastor. Thank God he had wonderful advice. He said, you remember Abraham and Lot? See, love is something you do. I find out. I make a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. I'm going to be perfected. The Holy Ghost is going to guide me and the Word of God is going to steer me. And the Word and the Spirit coupled with my decision and my action based on my decision. Decision isn't enough. To have the Bible isn't enough. You got to read it. You got to do it. You got to act on it. You see that, don't you? Well, a wise pastor said, you remember Abraham and Lot? And Abraham said to Lot, you take what you want first. Tell her to take the driveway if she wants it. And a lady that knew God said, I'll do that. And she deeded that driveway. It did turn out indeed to be hers. And she said she knew it was hers. But she deeded that driveway. You know we're only talking about 20 foot. Can you imagine the squabble people get in over the insignificant? 20 foot of land. And we're going to fight over 20 foot. And she deeded it to her neighbor. See, love does. Love does. Well, this lady came to the class. I gave some examples of what you can do. And I talked about a lady that always bought donuts. She worked in a big office. There were hard feelings. She bought you a donut. And this lady leaped to her feet. Never forget. She said, I can do that. I can do that. And suddenly she just collapsed. I said, I didn't even know what her name was. I said, what is it? What is it? She said, oh, I just remembered who I'd have to do that for. But see, there's someone on the inside. Someone on the inside. Someone on the inside. There's someone on the inside. Someone on the inside. You know, and if I don't make a decision, that's all he'll ever be is on the inside. And the fruit will be shriveled, fall off the vine before it's time. You know, it's all right to be fruity. Christians are supposed to be fruity. Well, we're going to be patient. Means we're going to hang in there. We're going to forbear. We're going to restrain ourselves. We're going to do kind things. And it says we're not going to be jealous. Jealousy is suspicion. I wonder why she did that. I wonder why she said that. I wonder what she meant by that. So we're not going to do that. Not going to do that. So we're going to lay that aside. How can you do that? There's someone on the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost is going to help you. Not going to be jealous. Now, envy is a little bit different than jealousy. Envy is discontent at the well-being of another. In other words, you did very, very well. You got promoted. You got a raise. You got a new car. Your children got all A's. And it makes me so mad. Because my children didn't get A's or my car is old or I didn't get the promotion. And envy is discontent. Things are going well for you instead of rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. We'd say, I don't know where you come from. We'd say, I'm ticked off. But instead of being jealous or envious, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad you got a promotion. See, even if my heart, even if my mind and my body says something ugly, does your mind ever say ugly things? So I hope they don't park that car in my driveway. You know, they've been parking in your driveway, but now because it's a new car, you don't want them in your driveway. Have you ever done anything like that? But see, I make a decision. Love is a decision. See, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. You know, and I don't think it's he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to perfect the church. I think he's going to find a people making right decisions and living in 1 John 1:9 if we confess our sin. I don't think it's we're going to live any way we want to. And then when he gets here, he'll perfect you. I think he's going to do some things for us when he gets here. There's no doubt about that. Oh, thank God for that. But I think he's going to find a people who are walking in holiness. Holiness is love. We only have one commandment. If you don't get anything else, there's only one commandment. Love one another. The Pharisaical lawyer came to Jesus and said, what's the great commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's it. See, that's what I'm going to do. Even on days I didn't feel like it. Even on days I was resentful. Even on days I was discontent. You know, your grass is greener than my grass. Or all your chinch bugs came over to my side when you sprayed your grass. We get discontent. We get unhappy about things that are temporary. Several things the Lord has said to me this year of significance. The other one is, he said, major, Becky, in the eternal. Major in the eternal. You know chinch bugs are not eternal. We can't squabble over chinch bugs or green grass. And they said, love is never selfish. Now, never is a really big word. You know how big never is? I love the translator of 1 Corinthians 13. I've studied over 30 translations in detail because I was going to walk in love and I had opportunity not to. But see, if I'm going to be holy, if I'm going to be blessed, if I'm going to be perfected, if I'm going to have heaven's plan, I've got to be different than I was. I've got to allow this love on the inside to come to the outside. I've got to allow the Holy Ghost in the Word to guide my mouth. That's the main fault, isn't it? It's our mouth, isn't it? And the Scripture says, bridle your mouth. Now, I don't know if I've ridden some horses. I used to love to horseback ride. They put that bridle across the tongue. You bridle your tongue, I mean physically, go, and then see what you can say. You know what God meant when he said, bridle your tongue? He meant, don't say it. Don't say it. But see, the flesh says, just give him a piece of your mind. Tell him what you think. You have rights. Somebody says, I have my rights. I always say, do you? Do you? Oh, see, there's someone on the inside, love of God on the inside. It says, never selfish. Now, when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1977, Wayne did not think that was a good idea. You may have heard me tell this story before. We had three very, very difficult years till he was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1980. When I came home and told him what happened to me, he was really irritated with me. He says, we do not believe in that. Well, we had some people come to me want to talk about their difficult marriage, and they say, I know you wouldn't understand. And I said, lady, I don't know if you understand or not, but I know I do. I've been there when times were hard. You know, the salt bit his end of the table. There's no way I'm going to say pass the salt. You have got to be kidding. See, but love is a decision. I decided I'm going to walk in love. So I decided, you know, this is a lot in 1 Corinthians 13. A lot in there. So I can't concentrate on all of that. So I said, I'll just be never selfish. I'll just do that one thing. One thing, never selfish. Never. Say never. Never. Well, I did try for 2 weeks. You remember Avocado Green? We had Avocado Green sofa in those years. And the end of 2 weeks, it was a Wednesday, I got on my knees in front of that Avocado Green sofa. Wayne was out working. That's the only Wednesday night, I guess, in for years and years that we missed on Wednesday. We always went to church, but things were so bad we didn't go. That's the only time it's ever happened. And he was out working, and I was on my knees, and I said to God, I can't do this. I can't do it. You know, I tried for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I don't know if you've tried to not be selfish. In other words, you don't ever get anything you want. Never. You always want what the other man wants. You know, we get tired of that. Flesh gets tired of that. One little lady told me, she says, I'm sick and tired of not getting my way. I understood what she meant. The sad news was I understood that. And I said, God, I can't do it. I fixed supper every night with dessert. I had the children with their homework done, their baths made. I met him at the door with a glass of iced tea or Coke or whatever it was we were refreshing ourselves with. We don't do alcohol. And one day he said something really sharp to me. He said, I have a drink at the office at 4 o'clock. I certainly don't need this iced tea when I get home. I know you've never been sharp, right? Have you ever been sharp-tongued? What does the Scripture say? Bridle your tongue. See, it begins with a decision. I've decided I'm not going to say it. And then I say, Holy Spirit, oh, listen, apart from the Spirit of the living God, I'm helpless. My decision My flesh upends my decisions. That ever happened to you? My flesh disturbs my decision. I made the right decision. I had it in my heart, but my flesh was so strong. I heard from God that day. I heard loud and clear. I tell you exactly what he said. He said, you have no choice. See, love never fails. There's that never again. Never fails. Never fails. In other words, if I do this, I'd already proved I couldn't do it. I'd already proved I couldn't. I tried. And you know what happened when Wayne is sharp-tongued? You know, Scripture says not rendering railing for railing. He railed on me, I'm railing on him. Well, you don't have to take out your day on me. And yet the Scripture says, don't do that. Blessing for cursing. Blessing. I thought, blessing for cursing. See, it's God's way of success or no success at all. Amen. It's God's way or not at all. Well, it took us 3 years, but love never fails. I can tell you, love never fails. Love never fails. Never fails. Never fails. 3 years, he starts speaking in tongues. And he said, you know, you want to hit him with your shoe. He said, you were right about other tongues. I want to clobber him. But I can't do that because love doesn't do that. I have decided. See, when we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, that means I've decided to be kind when I could be ugly, and I've decided to be patient when I could be impatient. I've decided to restrain myself when I really wanted to be vocal. I've decided to seek not my own way. One of the translations that I love that says pursues. You know, a policeman pursues a criminal. I mean, he's out to get him. And that's what selfish people are. They're out to get their own way. They're pursuing their own way. I say, if we're going to have any fight, it should be, I'm going to submit to you and you're determined to submit to me. We should fight over submission. You used to say, do you want Chinese? And I said, no, I really don't like Chinese food. But I'll go with you. And you say, no, I'll go with you. Where do you want to go? And I said, no, Chinese is fine. And you say, no, you don't like Chinese. And if there's any fight, any argument, it should be over two people determined to be the first to walk in love. That's it. That's all. But you know what I found out from the day I made a decision? See, love begins with a decision. I'm equipped on the inside. Now, we have a computer. We have office. We have two computers. We have sound equipment. We have a soundboard. I mean, you should see the floor space they're in, too. It's really a miracle. We have all of that equipment, and I can't operate not even a piece. I do not even know how to turn the computer on and off. Now, I was babysitting one day for a friend who had a need and kept her little boy. Wayne's on the computer, had his back turned, and this little bitty kid turned it off. I didn't even know how to do that. Everything goes blank, you know, and then somebody hollers, ah! I can't operate it. They put me on, I have to type something. I have to get them turned on. And if something goes wrong, I have to come get them, check it. You know why? I decided the day they set that up and I watched them mash all that buttons that I would never learn to operate that computer. I made that decision. I said, it's too hard, it's too complicated, I'm too old. Do you make excuses for yourself? I'm not smart enough. Well, I couldn't say I'm not smart enough. I figured I was smart enough if I applied myself. I just wasn't going to do it. And years have come and gone, and guess what? Still can't do it. I still have to holler for help. Have a lot of helpers, though. Thank God. God provides stubborn people with helpers. Have a lot of helpers. Then I watched somebody else. They just decided to learn. They decided to grow. Begins with a decision, see? What have you decided about love? See, I hear kids say, I'm over 18. My mama can't tell me what to do. See, you decided. I'm not walking in love. I'm not yielding to their authority. Who do they think they are? I have my rights. Heard that just the other day. And I said very kindly, and I'm over 18. I want them to know you're going to stand up because you're over 18 and be ugly. I'm telling you, I'm over 18. See, love wouldn't do that. Love wouldn't do that. Now look at Romans 6. We can't stop without reading this wonderful, wonderful verse in Romans 6. I don't know of anybody that struggles with the love of God, any corporate body, any more than the church. If you want to see ugliness and animosity, dissatisfaction and wagging tongues, choose a church. Just every time. You know, in the office, they know at the end of the day, I'm going home. I may talk about you, may tell Wayne, you really messed up my paperwork today. But I'm going to go back tomorrow and work with you again and again and again. But in the church, we just gnaw at one another and gnaw at one another and gnaw at one another until God can't do what he wanted to do. He said, our love of decision is so strong, so outstanding, that the world is going to come. They're going to notice that there's something different. Now look, here's your helper. Romans chapter 8 it is. We read verse 14. We always start at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we use that verse, and it's okay to use it that way, that if you need a new house, God will lead you. If you need a new car, God will lead you. And that's true. But that verse, that's not the impact. That verse, this entire chapter is talking about the flesh and the spirit. The flesh saying, you have your rights, and the spirit saying, crucify, crucify, crucify. Love, decide. And this whole chapter, you read it in context, is about the difference in the flesh and the spirit. The spirit where God's love is and the flesh where God's love isn't. And it comes down to verse 13. It says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You see, if I let my flesh tell me what to do, death and destruction. That's what the scripture says. But if you through the spirit, do you see that? Do you see that wonderful verse? Through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Who's my helper? Holy Ghost. So when I come to a difficult time, I mean, you know, sometimes it's so simple. Wayne wants to do something, and I say, you know, I just don't want to do it. I'm too tired. Maybe I've had a long day. My feet hurt. I want to sit on the sofa. We never fight over the ball game because he's not a ball game person. I'm not a ball game person. But a lot of fights ensue in the home over the ball game. She wanted to do something, but he had to watch the ball game. See, selfishness begins to creep in. First, I go to the words. Now, what did God say? What did he say about selfishness? He said, don't do it. That means I always yield to the other person, so whatever Wayne wants is what I want. Whatever he wants. I said, sure, I'd be glad to go. Be glad to. Or he'll say, sure, I'll be glad to turn the TV off. How am I going to do that? Through the Spirit. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. I know what you said in your word. I know I'm supposed to be unselfish. I know I'm supposed to be kind. I know I'm supposed to do deeds of benevolence. I know I'm supposed to overcome evil by doing something good. One lady had a major fight with her mother-in-law, and she came to me about it. It was a really big deal. And so I gave her the scripture. You see, there's nothing will work but the word of the living God. If your plan's not from the word, it's not going to work. Now, she could have ignored her. That's not going to bring peace that passes all understanding because it's not right. She said, what would you do? And I explained to her, you have to do something. Say, do something. Do something. Do something. Do something. So she finally, she caught on. I read her several scriptures. She said, you mean like send her a flower or something? I said, yes, that'd be great. So she said, okay. The next day, she called the florist and sent her mother-in-law. And I said, and don't be chintzy. You know, guys, if you're going to apologize, do it right. Bring a dozen roses. Do it right. So she sent a really nice bouquet. And that's all it took. Her mother-in-law said, I'm so sorry. And she said, and I'm so sorry. Why did that work? Because in the word that way. God said, if you overcome evil, you do it by doing something. Doing something. Now, it's easy to do something for somebody that's really nice. Somebody you're not mad at. Somebody that'll help you when you need help. But you got to do something. Love does something. It's patient with the enemy and it's kind to the enemy. It's unselfish with the aggravating people. It's not jealous, envious, or boastful with those people that you don't think they didn't work as hard as I did. Then do something. Send them a letter. Send them a card. Congratulations. Bake them a cake. Put congratulations. See, do something. Say, do something. Do something. Do something. Say, I don't want to do anything. Well, I don't want to be unkind to you, but if you don't do something, you will fail. You cannot ignore the enemy and succeed. You cannot turn your back and walk on the other side of the street and succeed. The foundation of New Testament law is love one another. And it's just that simple. It isn't any greater than that, any broader than that, any different than that. Say, love one another. Say, love one another. Love one another. Now, here's what I like to do. Everybody's missed it. Have you ever missed it? Has anybody here not missed it? Find a neighbor or friend. Look them right in the eye and say, I am so sorry. See, you're going to miss love, but you're ready. See, you're ready. One more time. Some of you look like desperate human beings. Say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. One lady said, I can't say that because I wasn't wrong. She was wrong, by golly, and I'm not saying it. I didn't say go in there and say, I was wrong. If I don't think I'm wrong, I'm not a liar. I'm saying, I'm so sorry this happened between us. I'm so sorry we had this disagreement. I want to be at peace with you. I love you.